Today we are continuing our Believe series. Again, I appreciate Pastor Rita sharing last week about biblical community and the importance of that practice, and we're going to be building on that a little bit today by talking about spiritual gifts. Today I'm celebrating, or actually tomorrow I'm celebrating a birthday. And some of you are thinking, wait a minute, Pastor, your birthday's in January. How are you celebrating a birthday tomorrow? Well, you're right. Tomorrow, though, is my spiritual birthday. 51 years ago tomorrow, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, May 4th, 1975. New Providence Church of God. And I believe that that day is as important as the day I was born and should be celebrated as much as my physical birthday is celebrated. It's my spiritual birthday, 51 years from tomorrow. That's the day I became a Christian. That's the day I became a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the day my journey of discipleship and growing to become more like Christ began. That's the day that I was moved from death to life, that my name was written in the book of life. The day I was reborn, wonderfully saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That needs to be celebrated. It needs to be celebrated. And when you think about it, my journey of faith began in earnest that day. Because from that moment on, I belonged to the Lord. I was the Lord's. I was surrendered to Him, as we talked about a few weeks ago, about total surrender. I was surrendered to Him at that point. And on that day, God blessed me with the Holy Spirit. And as a young, 8-year-old, immature believer, my journey began. And I received some amazing gifts on that birthday as well. I received the joy of salvation. The promise, the joy of sins forgiven, and the promise of life everlasting with Jesus. I received the love and the support of a church family that had known me and seen me grow up in that church. And I received the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But I also received something that day that I didn't realize until years later. I received spiritual gifts. God blessed me with spiritual gifts on that day. We are in week 17 of Believe, week 17, and we're taking a tour of the top 30 beliefs and practices and virtues of the Christian faith, and right now we're kind of camping out in the practices part and looking at things that we need to be doing as we desire to become more like Jesus. The practice we're talking about today is something called spiritual gifts. What do we mean by spiritual gifts? Well, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. That's a very simple definition. It's a gift given by God to each one of us to help each other. Notice that it's not a talent or a skill that is given to us, because talents and skills are given to benefit ourselves. Those are things that we develop for our own personal benefit. But a spiritual gift is given from God to us for the benefit of others and to advance God's kingdom. Now, can God use our talents and abilities for His purposes? Absolutely. He certainly can. But there's a difference between us giving our talents and skills to God and God giving a spiritual gift to us. Talents and skills are typically something we are good at. Typically, we use them in our job or our vocation. But spiritual gifts are given by God for one purpose only, and that is to bless others, to help others grow in the faith, for advancing God's kingdom and God's purposes. Spiritual gifts are actually described in several places in the New Testament. We're going to read today from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. This is just one example where Paul talks about spiritual gifts. So Romans chapter 12, beginning with the third verse, hear now these words. For the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do so diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. When I was reborn 51 years ago, God celebrated my salvation by giving me spiritual gifts. And every believer in Jesus Christ is given a spiritual gift. No one is overlooked. And you may not have the same gifts or as many gifts as another believer, but you have just the gift God wanted you to have. And 51 years later, I'm still discerning what spiritual gifts God has given me and how best to use those gifts for the advancement of His kingdom. So our key idea today is simply this. I know my spiritual gifts, and I'm using them to fulfill God's purposes. That's our big idea, our key idea. I know what my spiritual gifts are, and I'm using them to fulfill God's purposes. Our first point today is simply this. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you have at least one spiritual gift. More than likely, more than one. Early on in my life, others saw in me the spiritual gift of preaching and pastoral ministry, and they saw me as someone who genuinely cared for people and who could teach the Word of God and preach the Word of God. I mentioned last month about my first preaching assignment at the age of 13 at the Providence Church. And when I was in college and still attending church there, guess what I was doing? I was teaching Sunday school. I was teaching the post-high Sunday school class. These are my peers, and I was teaching them because I believe God had given me the gift of teaching and to use that gift for His glory. One of the best ways that we can help one another is to encourage the spiritual gifts we see in each other. I was blessed by some amazing Sunday school teachers at Providence Church growing up. People like Dave Kramer and Ed Campbell and Wayne Lefevre. And their example and influence made it possible for me to start using my gifts when I reached my teenage years. One of the great insights that came out of the cottage meetings that we just had here during the season of Lent was that we have lost our sense of calling, where we see gifts of ministry in others and we don't call them out like we used to. I-C-N-U are four letters, but they are so vital to the church. I-C-N-U is saying to someone, I see in you the gift of ministry, or the gift of music, or the gift of teaching, or the gift of helps, or the gift of serving. And we need to do a better job of tapping people on the shoulder and saying, hey, I see in you this gift or that gift. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, we have different gifts, and I am so glad that we do, because each gift is needed. I don't have the gift of music at all. I don't. And aren't you glad that I'm not the one up here leading the music, trying to play those instruments over there or over here? That's not my gift. But I am so grateful that we have people that have those gifts and are using those gifts for the glory of God. Let me illustrate it this way. Suppose someone here spilled their coffee this morning. This is how people with different gifts would respond. If you have the gift of service, you would say, let me help you clean it up. If you have the gift of mercy, you might say, I'm so sorry that happened. Let me get you another cup. If you have the gift of giving, you would say, here, you can have my cup. If you have the gift of administration, you might say, Josh, would you get the mop? And Carol, would you please help pick up the mess here, and Susan, could you get him another cup of coffee? If you have the gift of faith, you might say, where God empties one cup, He always fills another. If you have the gift of teaching, you may say, if you pay attention, you won't spill your coffee the next time. If you have the gift of exhortation, you might say, maybe you should let someone else hold your coffee for you. If you have the gift of wisdom, you might say, there's no use crying over spilled coffee. If you have the gift of miracles, you might say, let's ask God to put the coffee back in the cup. And if you have the gift of healing, you might say, I'm praying against any physical or emotional trauma caused by this spilled coffee. And if you have the gift of prophecy, you might say, if you keep doing that, you're going to get burned. All responses, different responses to the same situation, but they're all based on different gifts that God has given to people. Now, is there any right or wrong response there? No, absolutely not. But it's using those gifts for the glory of God. All the gifts are different. All gifts are different, and all are needed, and that is good. The second point is we want to make today is this: that God desires that we know what our spiritual gifts are. God wants us to know. He doesn't say, "I blessed you with spiritual gifts, but I'm not going to tell you." He doesn't do that. He wants us to know. He wants us to realize those gifts. What are these spiritual gifts? Again, the Bible describes them in multiple places. Romans 12 is just one example. But we can see in other places as well. In 1 Corinthians 12 is an example. There are lists of gifts. And we kind of summarize them for you into three categories. Based on 1 Peter 4:11, there are two primary areas of distinction. There are speaking gifts, and there are serving gifts. The third category would include sign gifts, which are temporary in nature. These were given to the apostles when the church was being formed so that they could help authenticate the message of the gospel. Gifts of miracles and speaking in tongues and so forth. So what are the speaking gifts? Well, they are the words of wisdom or prophecy or evangelism or pastor and teacher. Teaching ministries, those are speaking gifts. And we have some people who have wonderful speaking gifts. We thank the Lord for that. There are service gifts as well, administration, exhortation, faith, giving, helps, serving, and mercy. And we have a number of people here who have gifts in that area as well, those serving gifts. And we see that all the time here at Mechanic Grove. Keep in mind that spiritual gifts are different than natural talents and abilities. They are given to us to benefit, not given to us to benefit ourselves. Spiritual gifts are given to benefit those around us, to help the body grow up into the image and the knowledge of Christ as Savior and Lord. There is a third point we want to make today, and that's this. Our spiritual gifts are to be practiced out of a heart of grace and humility and faith. Grace, humility, and faith. We are commissioned to discover what God has gifted us with and then to use it for His glory and the benefit of His kingdom. Paul tells us says it this way in 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God who works. So how do we discover our spiritual gifts? How do we discern what God has gifted us with? How do we do that? Well, there's a couple of ways we can do that. There are spiritual gift inventories, which are kind of like questionnaires that you can take, and we probably have some of them in the office. And those work to a degree, but it's filling out a lot of questions or responding to a lot of questions to do that. I think there's a better way to do that, and here is what I'm suggesting. If you want to know what your spiritual gifts are, here's the best way to do it. Ask someone who knows you very well. Ask someone who knows you very well and say, what do you think my spiritual gift is? And they'll be able to tell you. And 99 out of 100 times, they'll be right. They've seen your life. They've seen you how you've grown and developed, and they will be able to say, I think you have the gift of this ministry or that ministry or so forth. But the second way is to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. If God leads you to try something, do it. If you feel unqualified, that's great. That's a great starting point. You are primed and ready to be used of the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you. So if God asks you to do something, try it. You may just discover your spiritual gift. And when I was asked as a young person to teach a Sunday school class or to speak a message, I didn't want to do either one of those. But I took a step of faith. And I said, okay, Lord, if you want me to do this, You want me to speak in front of people, you have to do it in a way that my knees are not constantly having fellowship, okay? I want to be able to stand before people and speak your word plainly, clearly, and confidently. And God did that. I took a step of faith. I tried it. I was scared to death. But he blessed. And others began to see that gift and affirm that gift in me. So now stop making excuses that you don't have anything to offer God. And stop worrying about what you can do for God. Just ask God, what do you want to do in me and through me? Zig Ziglar has said, you are the only person on earth who can use your ability, your gifting. So are you investing your spiritual gifts? Are you using them, or are you sort of hiding them or hoarding them or not using them? Are you burying them? Think about it. A gift is only a blessing if it is received and used. And your spiritual gift is a blessing when it's received and used for the glory of God. I want you to imagine for a moment being a child. And for some of you, that might not be too hard to do. But I want you to think about, think what it would be like about not getting anything for Christmas. You're a child and Christmas has come and you're bummed out because you're not getting anything. Wouldn't feel very good, would it? But on Christmas morning, you wake up and you saunter down the stairs and you discover a gift under the tree with your name on it. Your name. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't you be so excited? Because you're not expecting to get anything, and now there's a gift with your name on it. And when you open it up, you discover just how amazing this gift is. It's not some mass-produced, no-thought, store-bought, no-thought plastic trinket. It's a handcrafted, one-of-a-kind, specialized toy designed specifically for you. And it's given by your loving Father just for you. How awesome is that? It's the most incredible toy you have ever seen. Nothing else like it. And tucked inside is a tiny piece of paper, and you pull it out, and its instructions read, very brief but very specific, warning, do not use alone, must only be played with friends. If you are a follower of Christ, there's a gift from God given to you. Your name's on it. It's your spiritual gift. But for that gift to work, guess what? You need to join with friends here at Mechanic Grove and utilize that gift. Friends, our key application today says this about spiritual gifts, that we seek to serve one another using our gifts to glorify God and help others. We value and respect the gifts of each other as together we serve God's purposes. And we come to see that using our gifts for God's purpose is bigger than ourselves. Last week, Pastor Rita shared about biblical community, and as with the biblical community, spiritual gifts strongly affect our relationship with God and with one another. Let me ask you, why would God only give us one or two or maybe three spiritual gifts rather than giving them all to each one of us? Because he gives us one, two, or three, guess what? We need other people. We need the gift that they have to help us to grow in the faith. It comes back to biblical community. Biblical community is where we live out these spiritual gifts, where we utilize our spiritual gifts. And we rely on each other and we cooperate with each other. As a seeking, hurting world watches us cooperate and move in unison to meet needs, you know what? They're going to be drawn. They're going to be drawn to experience the life-changing power. And they'll begin to shun this idea of every man for himself, which is so prominent in our world, and begin to embrace every soul matters. Every soul matters. The mission of Jesus. The Holy Spirit has given these gifts. He will guide us to their use. He knows exactly what is needed, when it is needed, and where it is needed. Therefore, listening to and obeying the Lord becomes vital to using our spiritual gifts. Over 30 years ago, when Saddleback Church of in Southern California was growing, Rick Warren was the pastor there, and it had grown to about 500 people. And Rick Warren stood before the congregation. He said, "Folks," and I said, "I'm out of energy. And the church is getting so big that I can't do much more. And as I read the Bible, it doesn't say I'm supposed to do it anyway." He said, "I'll make you a deal. If you'll do the ministry that God has gifted you to do, then I'll do my part to make sure that you're well fed." Warren said that they then, quote, shook hands and made a pact together. And it was after this agreement that the church began exploding with growth. Can we make that same deal here this morning? That if you use your spiritual gift and you use your spiritual gift, that I'll keep you well fed. I'll continue to feed you from God's word. And we'll do this thing of ministry together. Can we make that agreement today? Because I can't do it all. Even with the great staff we have here at Mechanic Grove, we can't do it all. We need you using your gifts, your talents, your abilities. Can we agree on that today? Give me an amen if we can agree on that. Let me give you three takeaways from the message today. First of all, seek the giver of the gifts first. Seek the giver of the gifts first. God is not some cosmic gumball machine in the sky dispensing gifts to anyone who asks. The gift is always secondary to the giver. So relationship is the key. Seek God first. Fix your eyes on Him. Stay attuned to God and what's going on in God's world. In the kingdom world. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You know, when I was in my 20s and I was wrestling with a call about entering into full-time ministry, I changed my focus from what can I do for God to what does God want to do in and through me? And that simple change enabled me to take the step of faith that I needed to take to move away from government service into the Lord's service. It was a game changer. The second takeaway is this, is to open the gift. If you are a believer, you have been given a gift, but many of you, some of you, have not used your gift. You've not opened a gift. And a gift is only valuable if it is opened and used and put into practice. If you don't use your spiritual gifts, guess what? You may in fact lose them. We've heard the phrase, use it or lose it. I think that applies to spiritual gifts as well. That if you don't use your spiritual gift, that God may pull it back from you. So use it. Open the gift, the spiritual gift God has given you. And lastly, give it away. Give your spiritual gift away. Remember, the gift God has given you is not to build yourself up, not to make you look good. It's to benefit others. It's to bless those in the family of God here at Mechanic Grove. So stop making excuses and use the spiritual gift God has given to you. And may your spiritual gift simply wear out. May it wear out because you have used it to the fullest potential for the glory of God. I hope when my pastoral ministry career is over, that I have given everything I had, that I have nothing left in terms of preaching or in teaching or in shepherding God's people, that I have used up those spiritual gifts as I go off into the sunset. I hope it's that way, because we want to use those gifts for the glory of God, and we use them by giving them away. And so my prayer is that you will bless others with your spiritual gift as you give it away. Let me close with this. Because young Antonio's voice was high and squeaky, he did not make the tryouts for his Italian town's boys' choir. And when he took violin lessons, the neighbors persuaded his parents to make him stop. Yet Antonio, he still wanted to make music. His friends gave him a hard time because his only talent was whittling. When Antonio was older, he served as an apprentice to a violin maker. And his knack for whittling grew into a skill of carving, and his hobby became his craft. He worked patiently and faithfully, and by the time he died, he left over 1,500 violins, each one bearing a label that read, Antonio Stradivarius. They are the most sought-after violins in the world today, some selling for more than $100,000 each. Antonio couldn't sing. He couldn't play, he couldn't preach or teach, but his responsibility was to use his ability, and his violins are still making beautiful music today. May it be so for you and me. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Friends, let us make beautiful music together. Beautiful music for our Lord as we use our spiritual gifts that he has given to us to bless one another. Let us indeed practice using and giving away our spiritual gifts for the glory of God. Amen. So be it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful that you have blessed us with spiritual gifts. Lord, our desire is to know and discern and to utilize those gifts, for they are needed within the body of Christ, the biblical community, to nurture, to edify, to help people grow in their faith. So, Father, I pray that we would indeed discern and understand how you have called us, the gifts that you have given to us, and use them, to give them away, to make beautiful music for you. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to your church here at Mechanic Grove and the blessing of us with so many spiritual gifts that are being used for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.